into the real Dharma. So I remember myself when we were at one stage in Vrindavan talking about the possibility of that Vrindavan would expand and maybe we shouldn't consider the Gurukul where we were living at that time to be our future security, and maybe we should buy something, buy a piece of land in Vrindavan. And I remember being so uncomfortable with it. Even then, at that time, I hadn't heard Bhakti Gokshudas Babaji Maharaj's words. But later on, I could understand that it was as a result of that, because just the thought that I own something in the transcendental realm of Vrindavan, it commits one to ignorance and illusion. As long as you think like that, this is my house, this is my property, then how can you think this is actually Krishna's transcendental abode? You'll be committed to this, living on this thin layer of Maya, which conceals the Dharma. Ah, maybe he wants to clean. So Gokushetas Babaji is very penetrating. One time somebody came and said to him, Babaji, please give me your blessings. I have just married my wife. She is a maidservant of Krishna. So then he said, oh, your wife is a maidservant of Krishna. Then you should make sure that you never make her your maidservant. In the morning, you should offer your obeisances to her every morning. So you can remember that she's a maidservant of Krishna. So, of course, you know, in behind all these flourishing statements was some pretentiousness that he could recognize. So in many different situations, he was like that, very, very much indifferent. He wasn't even moralistically trying to correct people. He was indifferent to the materialistic level of devotional life. And he only had one disciple, and that was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And as we know, it was very difficult for him to be accepted by him. When he was told to take initiation from him by his father, he went to see him and he just dismissed it immediately and said, there's no question, you're so intelligent and I'm just illiterate. How can I be? You're such a great person, I couldn't possibly accept you. And then he came back and he said, and again Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur asked him and he said, I will have to talk to my Prabhu, meaning Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I will see what he says. So very indifferently, and then he came back another time and he said, have you spoken with your Prabhu? He said, not yet. he was testing him and testing him. And finally, when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's urgency got to such a point that he broke down and he said, then if you won't accept me, if your Prabhu won't accept me, I understand your Prabhu, your Krishna is very crooked. So he is so crooked, and if you will, and I am such a moralist, that he certainly won't accept me, then if that is the case, then I shall drown myself in the Ganga. And when he came to such a strong resolve, then Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was accepted by Gokushodas Babaji, but he had no other disciple. But he allowed all kinds of people to be around him. Good people, bad people, hypocritical people. He didn't interfere. They were all there. And at the end of his life, somebody came to him, one very wealthy lady, and said, you know, is there something we can do, make some nice place for you to stay? Sometimes he slept under a boat. Sometimes he'd sleep on the bank of the Ganga. Sometimes he'd go to a prostitute's house if he wanted and sit there for a while. He's just completely indifferent to the world and its values. One time Bhakti Vinod Thakur wanted to take his Babaji initiation from him and he was looking for him everywhere. And he didn't want to give it because he considered him superior, his superior. So at that time it was said that he went to sit on the veranda of a prostitute. And he was sitting there and all over Bhaktivinoda Thakur was looking for him everywhere. And he was seen to be laughing. And then when asked what was so humorous, he explained that, I've come here because that Thakur is looking for me, but he'll never come here. He'll never find me here. And he was very pleased with himself. So he was very free of all the social conventions that human beings are bound by, and all the values and attachments and concerns. They weren't his. His only concern was to chant and to do his own inner bhajan. So at the end of his life, this lady came and asked, is there some place we could make you comfortable? And he said, yes, if you could let me stay in your latrine, because she had a dharamshala. If you'd let me stay in your latrine, then I would be so happy. Because none of these materialistic people who come and say, oh, Babaji Maharaj, please come to our festival. We want you to be the guest of honor, and we'd like you to do this, and we'd like this blessing. He wasn't interested in any of this. So he said, then nobody will come and see me. So he left this world living there. And he locked himself in the latrine and was just chanting and chanting and chanting and chanting. So they fixed it a little bit, no doubt. But he thought the stench of the latrine was very pleasing to him in comparison with the stench of worldly, materialistic people who were trying to seek his blessings in some way or another. So whenever reading about him, I always feel a little nervous. By the end, I feel a little... because he penetrates through all the hypocrisy that we keep. Something for myself and something for Krishna. You know, something he should help me with my this. He should give me this. So he was not on that platform. He's completely on the transcendental platform. So some people on the transcendental platform preach and they awaken others. Some people on the transcendental platform just wander here and there with no care and no responsibility in this world. So Gokushodas Babaji Maharaj was the latter. So since we have the good fortune to have all arrived here, which is very rare and difficult to get here, we should all pray to him that somehow or another, if we want, of course, that he could penetrate through some of the hypocrisy that binds us to the material plane of worldly enjoyment, that we think, I can't possibly give this up, I can't live without that, I really need to take care of this myself. And so we do, we all have these things, so many subtle and gross, and then we end up with little teeny increments of faith, because we think, I have to do this, I have to take care of this, without this and that, and so forth. So we should actually pray that somehow or other, I don't know how, I'm almost horrified at the thought that I should look at this. But perhaps at some point I have to look at this and see that I address my faith issues. Where is my faith? How deep is my faith? Is there any way that I could get this dynamic, powerful faith that these acharyas have that make them look on this world as an insignificant place? Less attractive than a latrine. What they must think of the world if you would prefer to live in a latrine. So we need a bit of that. So we can pray here for a little bit of that that scrutinizing honesty in our spiritual endeavors. And even though it's a bit scary to pray like that, at least I'll be honest enough to say. I'm sure we all feel that. But still, it would do us the world of good. It will help us. It will free us from some of the shackles that are binding us to this material conception of life. So we can pray here and then take a couple of moments here, and then we should go back to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's samadhi. Oh yes, we can chant Gayatri here. Or some of us can pray. And then we can go over there for a few minutes and then